From the Sky News Centre at 3, Donald Trump has suggested Iran may agree to give up plans for a nuclear weapons program in exchange for peace. The US president insisted strong and productive talks had taken place, though that's being denied in Iranian media.
They called. I didn't call. They called. They want to make a deal. And we are very willing to make a deal. It's got to be a good deal. And it's got to be no more wars, no more nuclear weapons.
He's confirmed strikes on Iranian power plants had been postponed, causing oil costs to fall. Here, the Prime Minister's facing questions from senior MPs on the cost of living.
We've been working intensively in the last week or two with fuel suppliers to make sure that nobody is profiteering from this. And that's why we've said to the CMA they've got to be all over any price gouging, any attempts to make money.
In other news, police are searching for three suspects following an anti-Semitic arson attack on four Jewish volunteer ambulances in North London early this morning. No injuries have been reported. The city's mayor, Sir Sadiq Khan, says there'll be additional patrols.
I'm in close contact with the police, including the commissioner, with the Community Security Trust, with local leaders, with the Jewish community, to make sure those responsible for this despicable, cowardly attack are brought to book the full force of the law.
The mayor of New York's praised the swift actions of first responders after an Air Canada plane hit a fire truck on the runway at LaGuardia Airport. The pilot and co-pilot were both killed. The jury in the trial of a man accused of murdering a woman expecting his child has retired to consider its verdict. Stephen McCulloch denies killing Natalie McNally in Lurgan in County Armagh in 2022. Land on the outskirts of North London and a Bedfordshire village are among the chosen locations for new towns in England. Seven developments are planned. And in sport, just eight of Chelsea women's outfield players trained this morning ahead of their Champions League quarter-final. Sonia Bonpasta's side take on Arsenal in North London tomorrow. That's the latest. I'm Chris Milligan.
Clear, concise, current reporting throughout the day. TRE, your voice in Spain.
Remember when going out without an umbrella could ruin your day? Here with Línea Directa Insurance, your only worry should be enjoying everything that makes living in Spain so special. Car, home, motorbike, pets and protection against squatters. We've got you covered. Discover why 9 out of 10 customers recommend us. Switch to Línea Directa and enjoy full protection with the best prices and coverage. Call 919 181 130. Conditions apply.
There's a pawn shop on the corner
in downtown Fuengirola.
Hi, what's up?
Well, I'll tell you what's up. Gold's up. I just cashed up 12,000 euros. I can't believe my luck. A few gold coins, an old broken watch, and a few gold chains that I've not worn for years. And Linda came with me. She only had a charm bracelet and her dad's old pocket watch. 12,000 euros.
If you've got anything, call us in or come to the shop and we'll give you the very, very best price we can. Never a better time to sell at the moment. Call us on 609-529-633. It's Anthony. It's a name you can trust.
You'll now also find Anthony's open in Puerto Banús at the back of El Corte Inglés next to the Thai restaurant Naga. Telephone 622 907 000.
Discover the Clubhouse Marbella, your go-to spot for fun and entertainment, located beneath La Sala Porta Banús. Meet the team of expert PGA professionals to enjoy daily premier golf coaching using Trackman-powered golf simulators. Challenge your friends to F1 racing, pool, shuffleboard, or dartsy dartboards, and catch every game on over 50 screens. The lively atmosphere is perfect for a day out or a night of excitement. Bring the whole family midweek for an afternoon of games, and don't miss happy hour from 5 till 7 p.m. Eat, drink, watch, play at the Clubhouse Marbella. Email reservations at clubhousemarbella.com or call 951-204-835.
TRE, your voice in Spain.
You're locked in to TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray. Sponsored by La Sala Puerto Banús. Join us for the ultimate social and dining experience, featuring live music 7 nights a week. Discover more at lasalabanus.com.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It is the start of another week.
Monday the 23rd of March. Thanks to Selena for today's lifestyle show. Hope you had a good weekend. I went to the UK for a couple of days with my dad. And I drove in England for the first time, having learnt to drive in Spain. And it was all right. I really got used to it quite quickly, considering it was the biggest car I've ever driven. We hired a car and it was supposed to be a Vauxhall Corsa, but they upgraded us to a massive SUV. It was the biggest car my dad had ever driven as well. But we made it work, which was sometimes challenging in the country lanes of Dorset. Or Dorset, should I say. We were really lucky with the weather. It was clear blue skies pretty much the whole time. No rain, no cloud really. It was lovely. And then coming back home to this, clear blue skies again. Happy days indeed. Joining me over the next couple of hours, I'm going to be chatting to Sonia Chirgin. She is the coordinator for the Irish Humanities Alliance at the Royal Irish Academy. Her biography, Eva Gore Booth, Irish Radical Poet, Rebel and Reformer, has been republished to mark 100 years since her death. The book has been praised by former President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins. At 10 past five, we have a new Entrepreneur of the Week. This week, it is Sam Teal, who is the founder and CEO of Sam Teal Productions, an award-winning UK-based video production company specialising in emotional, story-driven commercial content, TV adverts and documentaries. And 5:35, we have our weekly sports roundup with Freddie Lamb.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Thank you.
Peter Gabriel and Salisbury Hill. It's just gone 4:10 on Talk Radio Europe.
This is
TRE. Abbeygate offers you guaranteed savings on every one of their insurance policies. We find the right product to suit your needs at the very best price. We don't only insure your vehicle and your home. We look after every aspect of your life, from your health and that of your pets to business, travel and marine insurance. Check out our deals by requesting a no-obligation quote at abbeygateinsure.com or call us on 951 277 455 and we will be happy to assist you. Don't forget, at Abbeygate, we also insure holiday homes. Abbeygate, the way insurance should be.
For over 27 years, Euroweekly News has been your trusted source for positive, informative news in Spain, from Valencia to Gibraltar and Mallorca, reaching over 500,000 readers every week, 140,000 free newspapers distributed weekly, with less than a 1% return rate, focusing on news that promotes the costas, encourages investment in Spain, and keeps you informed about the ever-evolving social scene, whether you're Dutch, Danish, Swedish, Belgian, French, Polish, Ukrainian, Finnish, German, Irish, British, or American, we reach you. Visit euroweeklynews.com today.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Online at tre.radio.
You're listening to TRE in the Afternoon with Hannah Murray. Brought to you by the Clubhouse by Sala. Get ready to eat, drink, watch and play at the ultimate sports venue on the coast. Find out more at clubhousemarbella.com. Hannah Murray on TRE in the Afternoon.
Entertainment news on TRE.
Project Hail Mary's broken a film record, plus there's new music on the way from Barry Manilow. Debbie Ridgard has the latest.
Barry Keoghan says the online comments about his appearance have caused him to not want to go outside. The Irish actor told SiriusXM he understands people in the public eye receive criticism, but admits the level of abuse he's getting is becoming a problem. He says it's disappointing for the fans, but also for his little boy, who he says will read all of the stuff when he gets older. Andrew Garfield says his new film, The Magic Faraway Tree, looks to show an alternative way to live which leans more into nature. The film, based on the Enid Blyton book, also stars Nicola Coughlan, Claire Foy and Rebecca Ferguson. Andrew says the story offers some escapism and optimism.
I think the medicine in it, or the kind of like the hope in it, is that we are encouraged back towards the things that we can actually depend upon. We're on a planet that has an abundance of resources that just happen to be hoarded by a bunch of scared little men, for the most part, who are greedy and want to keep us oppressed.
Ryan Gosling's Project Hail Mary has received Amazon MGM's biggest film opening weekend ever. It's also the biggest cinema debut so far this year. The movie, based on the Andy Weir novel of the same name, follows a teacher turned astronaut who wakes up inside a traveling spacecraft. And Barry Manilow has announced his first album in 15 years. What a Time will be his 33rd studio album, and the artist worked with Gary Barlow, Kenneth Babyface Edmonds and Dave Cobb, among others, on the project. It's set for release on the 5th of June.
Song of the Week.
The song of the week is Get What You Give by Scouting for Girls. The song talks about persevering through challenges and holding on to hope despite setbacks. It encourages taking risks, living boldly and embracing life with all its highs and lows, emphasizing the idea that one reaps what they sow.
Cause I got dreams that I can't reach, and it takes everything I'm giving just to keep me on my feet. But I don't care what people say, chasing rainbows in the gray. If I wake up and I'm breathing, then you know I'll try again. I'm just on. Too wild, too wild.
talking to my ghost of the dreams I miss the most. While the days blur into nights and I forget which way to go, I played the jokers in my head and I gave everything I had. But if I go down, I'll go swinging. Knock me out, but count me back. I'm just
That is your song of the week, Scouting for Girls and Get What You Give.
TRE, Talk Radio Europe.
Super spring savings at Mikolchon. Hundreds of products now on sale with 24-hour express delivery. Mattresses, recliners and sofas in your home tomorrow and only at Mikolchon. Delivery and assembly free. Mikolchon, fast, easy, now.
Is your car automatic? Transmatic are the automatic gearbox specialists on the Costa del Sol. Since 1990, Transmatic have specialised in the repair and servicing of automatic and manual gearboxes. All makes and models from the earliest classics to the latest hybrids. Transmatic undertake other mechanical work by appointment, all with a one-year guarantee. So book your car in for a check before it's too late. Also, Delia Car Rental by Transmatic, short and long term. Call today, 952-796-166. Or find us online at transmatic.es.
Talk Radio Europe.
You're locked in to TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray. Sponsored by La Sala Puerto Banús. Join us for the ultimate social and dining experience featuring live music 7 nights a week. Discover more at lasalabanus.com.
Let's have a nice cup of TRE in the afternoon with Hannah Murray.
Keep on walking down this open road, hoping.
Gary Barlow and Open Road. It's just coming up to 25 past four. It is the 23rd of March. Five things that have happened on this day in history. It was today in 1891 when goal nets designed by J.A. Brodie of Liverpool were used in football for the first time during the FA Cup final. It was today in 1923 when the BBC began broadcasting SOS messages to people who were away from home and needed to be contacted urgently. Today in 1972, American daredevil Evel Knievel broke 93 bones after successfully clearing 35 cars. Well, it depends what you mean by successfully, doesn't it, really? It was today in 1991 when REM scored their first UK number one album with their seventh LP, Out of Time, featuring the singles Losing My Religion and Shiny Happy People, which I'll be playing any moment from now. And today in 1997, the pilot episode of the successful Midsummer Murders series with John Nettles aired for the first time, attracting 13.5 million viewers. All things that have happened on the 23rd of March. We'll be right back. REM and Shiny Happy People. It's just coming up to 4:30 and joining us on the line now is Sonia Tiernan. She's the coordinator for the Irish Humanities Alliance at the Royal Irish Academy. Her biography, Eva Gore Booth, Irish radical poet, rebel and reformer, has been republished to mark 100 years since her death. The book has been praised by former President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins. Welcome to the show, Sonia.
Thanks, Hannah. Absolutely delighted to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. And wow, what an amazing woman she was. Where did you first hear about her and everything that she did?
Yeah, I suppose typical of women in history that we don't know about them. So I'd managed to get all the way through secondary, primary school and a degree without knowing anything about or hearing about Eva Gore Booth. Just this vague line in a W.B. Yeats poem. And that was really it. So it was when I was studying my master's, I decided I wanted to do a PhD and I wanted to uncover a significant Irish woman who people didn't know about. So I started looking into her and that's really what happened. And it's become a labour of love. Probably for the last 20 years, I've still been working on her.
Gosh, so are you always finding out more and more then?
There is, yes, absolutely. Because you start into it and you're thinking, oh, this was a woman who was born, a privileged background in this estate, one of the largest estates in the west of Ireland in 1870. And you think it's significant that she becomes a trade union campaigner in Manchester and that she was such a significant writer. She published 19 volumes of poetry and plays during her lifetime. But every other time you kind of look a bit more deeply in, and then I found out activities that she was doing during World War One, for example, to protect conscientious objectors to war. And then it moves on into so many different aspects of her life, very radical, and a huge amount that she had done based on the fact that she only lived till she was 56. So it kind of puts the rest of us to shame.
Oh, yeah, it really is impressive. So tell us about the work that she did in Manchester.
Yes, so she moved over to Manchester first. She met this woman, a young suffrage woman in Italy when they were both convalescing actually from illness. And this was Esther Roper, who was from Cheshire. And she was a suffragist, so she was campaigning for votes for women at the time. And so when Esther arrived back to Sligo, she decided that she would try to set something similar up in Sligo. And it didn't really take off. And she moved over to Manchester, predominantly, I think, to be with Esther Roper, first of all. And then she became involved in trade union campaigns over there. And she joined a lot of different organisations. But I think what was different about her, she moved into a terrace house in Manchester and she lived among the working classes. And it was the working classes that she really wanted to support and help. So Manchester at the time, the late 1800s, was full of Irish people, of course, that had emigrated over after the famine and for years afterwards. And also the cotton mills, it was a vast area. It was probably the first biggest industrial city that we had in the world, actually. So it was the workers in the factories that she was most considerate of and that she worked with them.
Yeah. And what about her work in the First World War?
Yeah, so when the World War started, which was a really difficult thing for her to do, because, of course, she was an Irish woman and she was living in England. So for her to oppose the war looked as if she was just being anti-British, but she wasn't. She was a pacifist, a dedicated pacifist. And the men, of course, were being conscripted into the army from 1916 onwards. And she realised that there was a huge number of people who opposed the war themselves and didn't want to fight, or were in a situation that they were looking after elderly parents or they were running farms, that families were dependent on them and they didn't want to go to war. So they objected and they didn't sign up for the draft, if you like. When they were conscripted, they resisted and they were imprisoned. And the law at the time said that they could actually be sentenced to death for refusing to go to war. So they had these tribunals around the country. And the tribunals, of course, were held by, it was people that were judging them were either ex-army officials, but there were also men who supported the war effort. So, of course, they were sentencing these men to hard labour was the easiest sentence that they would get. And their families, at cases, didn't know where they were being imprisoned or where they were being sent to. So Eva started travelling the country and sitting in on these tribunals and recording everything that was said. And she'd alert the family as to where their son or their father or brother had been sent to. And then she would try to support them by getting things to them in the prison. So really kind of, it was also seen, she also set up a newspaper called The Tribunal and reported on these cases. And that in itself meant that she could have been imprisoned for her activities, but she didn't care. She carried on regardless.
Really amazing work, really selfless.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, that, you know, these men literally had nobody else that they were, you know, because they were maybe shipped off to a different part of the country and people didn't realise exactly what was happening to them. And of course, we can start thinking about what's happening in America at the moment, a very similar type of thing where people were sent off to, you know, in the same way as ICE, and people don't know where they've gone. So it was very selfless of her. And a lot of these papers that were being printed, there was other women arrested for their activities. And it actually surprises me to this day that she wasn't arrested.
Yeah. And you don't know why that is? Was it just luck or...
I actually don't know why it is. You know, and if we also consider at the time that she was doing this, her older sister was Countess Markovic, who was a woman who was involved in the Easter Rising, a rebellion against British rule in Ireland. And her sister had taken up arms against the British army. So that surprises me even more that they didn't take the opportunity. They'd imprisoned Constance and she was imprisoned in England for quite a long time. But they didn't. It's surprising that they didn't imprison Eve at the same time.
Yeah. And what about her poetry? She became a prolific poet as well.
Yes, absolutely. And her poetry at the time would have been very popular, and it was popular amongst like the leading authors of the day. So you have people like George Russell and W.B. Yeats who loved her poetry and really respected it. And at the time, it would have travelled as far as being published in America. There was a lot of really good reviews about her work. But for some unknown reason, it was forgotten about for quite a number of years. And certainly when I was researching it, the only way I could get access was in academic libraries, which, of course, everybody doesn't have access to. So I did print all her poems again as well in another volume. And they've been taken up again, which is great. We have some vocal artists who are remembering her poets through songs, so they're putting them to music. But the poetry was beautiful and was very respected at the time.
Oh, lovely. And what kind of things did she write about?
A lot of what she wrote about, they're very personal kind of reflections, which her poetry is interesting. So different activities that would have happened in Manchester, like her campaigns for working women. She actually wrote poems about them, but she would have reflected a lot as well about the countryside and the beauty of Sligo and the west of Ireland, clearly showing that, you know, it would have been Manchester would have been very smog bound and very dull and dismal at the, you know, the turn of the into the turn of the 20th century. So she writes these beautiful poetries about the countryside and how lovely it was and how beautiful it was. So a lot of, and we also have some kind of Celtic imagery that she writes poems about, old Celtic legends like Queen Maeve of Connacht, you know, so they're really beautiful as well.
Nice. And did her poetry rhyme or were they a bit more lyrical or?
They're a bit more lyrical. Yes, they are. They are. And in some cases, quite lengthy as well. And she also wrote a number of plays, and some of them were performed, quite a few were performed actually by, I've come across them by schoolgirls in England at the time who would have, used them. But also there was a performance of one of her plays, which was based on Celtic mythology, again, the Cú Chulainn saga, in the Abbey Theatre that was performed. And of course, that's the National Theatre in Ireland. So that was that's really significant that it was performed there.
Yeah. So is she seen now by some as a bit of a LGBTQ plus icon?
Absolutely. And quite a lot, actually. And the recent LGBT march in New York, they had a banner of her and Roger Casement as well, who is another person from Irish history who is now known to be a queer man or a gay man, if you like. So the banner is very devoted to them. And you have a lot of different organizations who use her name and her kind of her writings as well to signify equality, because she worked towards equality even at that stage for LGBT rights.
Yeah. And would people have known and accepted that she was gay at the time? I know it was a lot harder for men than it was for women at that time, for sure. And I've spoken to people before who said that people would just assume that two women living together were friends as opposed to thinking that they were a couple.
Absolutely, you're so right. And I think even now in historical senses, before I had written the biography originally, people were just assuming that herself and Esther Roper were friends. But it's very clear from the life that they led and the people that they surrounded themselves with that they didn't hide what their relationship was, that they were a couple, that they were devoted to each other. And I think probably the most significant, marker of that is that when she died, they had already decided that they were going to be buried together. So Esther outlived her by 12 years, and she's buried in the same plot in Hampstead in London. And when you go to visit the plot, it's very obvious, really, because it's this single plot and it's got one headstone devoted to the two of them and an extract from Sappho's poetry. And of course, Sappho is viewed to be the original lesbian, if you like, who was writing about her love and adoration of women. So the fact that they put a fragment of her poetry on the headstone is very significant.
Yeah, definitely. So the fact that this book that you've written has been republished to celebrate or commemorate 100 years, what's different about this book? What have you added to it?
Really, it's tying in, I suppose, the significance, because at the turn of this year, you become very aware of the rollback, because we're all, across Europe and across Britain and Ireland, we've been very focused on equality and diversity and inclusion, and laws have been enshrined in those countries. And now then we started seeing with America, very especially, of these policies being rolled back on and literally being reversed in many instances. And also even down to things like marriage for same-sex couples, the attacks on that and trying to roll back on that. So it was looking at the fact of what is significant about Eva Gore Booth that we can learn from now, because she was actually writing and devoted and working on these principles far ahead of her times, really. So really with this book, it was actually to be able to say, this is why it's significant, why her life and work is significant now, because we can look at it and still learn something for today, for the 2020s.
Yeah. And how amazing to have such a lovely testimonial from Michael D. Higgins as well for you and the book.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, he gave a keynote address in London in the Trade Union Congress on Eva Gore Booth and her work after he'd read the book, which was just absolutely wonderful. And of course, the ideal venue to do it at the Trade Union Congress as well. But yes, he has been an absolute, he's been wonderful support. And he wrote the foreword, actually, of the volume that I did on the poetry as well. So Yes, he's very supportive.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Eva Gore Booth, Irish Radical Poet, Rebel and Reformer. It's the anniversary edition. It's by Sonia Tiernan, who we've been chatting with today. And the book is available on our website, tre.radio, in the bookshop section. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Anna. It's been a pleasure.
TRE.
Going out for tapas or having a full dinner? Taking a siesta or having afternoon tea? Mediterranean breakfast or English breakfast? With Linea Directa, you can enjoy the best of both worlds. What you love most and our insurance. A perfect mix with the best coverage at the best price. Car, home, motorbike, pet and squatter protection. Discover why 9 out of 10 customers recommend us. Switch to Linea Directa. Call 919 181 130. 30 years of insuring what matters most.
Are you over 65, a Spanish resident, and own your home in Spain, but want more financial freedom? With Fluent Finance Abroad Spanish Lifetime Mortgage, you can raise capital for any purpose you wish. As a regular income, a lump sum, or a combination of both, without selling, moving, or making monthly payments. You stay in control, enjoying extra income for retirement, travel, or peace of mind. Regulated by the Bank of Spain, transparent and tailored to you. Fluent Finance Abroad. Make your Spanish property work for you. Visit fluentfinanceabroad.com.
This is TRE.
You're listening to TRE in the Afternoon with Hannah Murray. Brought to you by the Clubhouse by Sala. Get ready to eat, drink, watch and play at the ultimate sports venue on the coast. Find out more at clubhousemarbella.com. TRE in the Afternoon.
Oh,
Prince and When Doves Cry. It's just gone 10 to 5 on TRE Talk Radio Europe.
Good news story.
I thought it's about time I shared a good news story with you. Reginald Betts was only 17 years old and imprisoned in imprisoned in solitary confinement when the lifeline arrived that would change everything. Someone delivered a book. Someone sent me Dudley Randall's The Black Poets and it radically changed my life. Betts entered the prison system after he carjacked an automobile in Fairfax County, Virginia, while a man was sleeping inside. He was tried as an adult and, oh yeah, so he was 17 years old, sorry. The word old wasn't in the article, so it threw me. I do apologise. He was tried as an adult and spent almost a decade in prison, with most of his sentence in solitary confinement. But one day, fellow prisoners used a rudimentary pulley system rigged with torn sheets and a pillowcase to deliver the poetry book. The metamorphosis began rapidly. He started reading every chance he got. He began writing too, and before long he realised that education could provide an escape route. When he was released from prison, he went full speed ahead into his studies, earning a bachelor's degree and then a law degree from Yale. He wrote poetry and advocated for prison reform. Eventually, he founded Freedom Reads, a non-profit that provides libraries and books to prisoners all across the country, repaying exponentially the good deed he received in solitary confinement. The Freedom Reads website says, "Prisons are the loneliest places on earth. That is a fact that our founder and CEO, Reginald Dwayne Betts, knows all too well. Since its inception in 2020, Freedom Reads has installed more than 550 libraries with more than 275,000 books and counting. For Betts, delivering books in prison represented a community of people working together to enrich their environments against the odds by transforming a place of desolation into one in which a radical idea would have the chance to blossom. Freedom begins with a book." Isn't that amazing? What a great story. The impact of reading and books can have on everybody, anywhere, whoever you are, wherever you are. It's really amazing. I'm going to see if I can get him on the show.
Sometimes life can make you crazy. It can really put your body to the test. You try so hard to make sure everything goes right, and you find you've only wound up with a mess. It's a common situation, even though you feel abandoned and alone. Child, you ain't the first to experience a hurt, so don't panic when you hit the danger zone. What you need's a little change of heart,
change of heart.
Forget this fear and frustration. Love will always play the greater part, when your battles weigh you down. Here's my advice. When you're feeling down and out and you've got trouble on your mind, love will save the day. When you're feeling full of doubt and fear has got you in a bind, love will save the day. When your world's falling apart, all you have to do is say a prayer and love will save the day. There's an answer in your heart, so let your light shine on, my dear, and love will save the day. This will bring you down. It's a wonder you can make it through the day. Well, you can't sleep, 'cause your problems are too deep, and there's always something getting in the way.
What a tune, isn't it? Brilliant. One of her best, I reckon. Whitney Houston and Love Will Save the Day. We are coming up to the headline news at the top of the hour. Just a little sliver of time for a little sliver of a song.
Online, on mobile, on the TRE app, your smart speaker, and on air. This is TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world.
From the Sky News Centre at 4, and we start with breaking news. A 36-year-old man's been found guilty of murdering a woman who was 15 weeks pregnant.